gentlemen from the television series Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel, Friday evenings. Please help us welcome to the stage Mr. Billy Tolley. And Mr. Big Steppin' himself, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Goodwin. Questions, if you guys want to know stuff, if you have any questions direct for them, you can certainly chime in. Text it. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So feel free to be a part of it. Raise your hands. I'll run out to you with the microphone, and that way everybody can hear you, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, who's our first question for Billy and Aaron? Oh, look at that. Save us from the sales. What's your name?
Lori Summers.
Where are you from, Lori?
I am from South Bend, Indiana.
Okay, we won't hold that against you. What's your question for the guest?
Well, actually, I was going to ask Aaron, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because the Hellfire Caves, awesome. Mm-hmm. But the whole, and I was going to ask you how you feel about the whole pagan ritual thing, because I was a little weirded out. I was worried for you is what it was.
Well, actually, that was all good stuff. None of that was really bad. It was bringing in, like, not all pagan rituals like that are bad. I mean, the one we did in England, that was bad. But the one we did here was kind of good. It brought all this good stuff. She was like, oh, bring in fortune and health. And she's like, and kids. And I was like, no. So she threw that part out.
And then there's a souvenir somebody might be going home with this weekend.
And then they also brought in, because the Hellfire Cave was all about, you know, what happened in there. They brought in this, like, what was it, a Roman god? Or there was this god of, like, lust and all that stuff. They brought in that energy. And so it was good. I mean, it was cool, but you could, well, hang on, that sounds bad. But you could feel the energy of it all. It was a good thing. But when I stepped out of the circle, that's when it became a little different. It was like inside a circle, you feel safe. And like it actually took me a minute to get outside of the circle, to actually step outside of it. But as soon as I did, then I had the cape, I wore the cloak, and that was just intense.
And you felt something tuck you.
Well, not only that, but I just went through all that stuff. Plus, I'm walking through with a cloak on. I mean, back in the day, if you're a spirit, they're like, oh, we're at it again. It's, you know, and so it was, that energy was so hyped up. And that's why we did it. It was to bring that energy out to get evidence. And I was the one who did it. And so it wasn't a bad thing. I mean, if you step out of the circle, I guess it was kind of scary and bad, but...
Is there a residual protective field afterwards? Did it linger?
Well, I never closed the circle. So it's kind of like I just went out, and I don't know, I'm kind of like real Mother Nature kind of thing, like Akash almost. And so I liked it, and like it kind of made sense to me. And then we came straight to Ohio a bit. Oh man, a lot of you guys heard about all the stuff that happened there. So like, you know, you guys hear the stories there too. But yeah, I talk a lot more about it on my Vimeo account. Just type in Vimeo Aaron Goodwin, and it was at the last day from Darkest Radio event in Ohio. Awesome. Yeah, Billy, wait, you know. Billy was there. It was outside the cave. Let's talk about that for a moment. It was pretty
cool. I was in the van, everyone knew. But I will say, Hellfire Caves, and what most people don't understand is, being the audio video tech, I'm in charge of all the gear, all the cameras, everything, from batteries to making sure that, you know, tripod's set up right, so that when these guys come in to investigate and it's time, they just go over to the buffet of equipment and just grab whatever they want. It's ready.
Delicious.
And the Hellfire Caves is no joke. I mean,
with a name like Hellfire, what kind of joke would it be? And a lot of times, like the Fuzzy Bunny Caves over in Europe.
And guess what? When the investigation's over and these guys are completely wiped out and they leave, it's just me at these locations by myself with a flashlight in my mouth, usually to use both hands to pick everything up, and it's... And everything's stirred up, so.
Well, and I used to have to do that before Billy came, so I'd have to do the hunt and then go back by myself. And so, thank God, man. Love you, man.
I want to know what your favorite episode is and what your worst episode was.
Start with the worst.
Oh, that worst is a hard one because there's so many. There's a lot. I don't even know if that's the worst anymore. Like, it just kind of, I don't know. Like, Hellfire Caves was pretty cool, but it wasn't a scary film. It's probably my favorite. And the witch in Salem, Massachusetts, that was pretty awesome when we became warlocks. But my scariest has to be, like, I thought I was going to die at the dam. Like, when that shadow, and I felt that, like, I felt like, in a weird way, like, I saw Medusa, and, like, I felt like everything was happening. I was turning to stone, and I thought I was having a heart attack, and that was pretty scary. And then, There's a bunch. I don't know. If you ever watch one, I'm like, that's usually pretty close.
Bill, what was your favorite episode to be a part of so far?
I mean, as far as the intensity, I always like going to these locations, and like I said, after they're done investigating, I'm in there with where they just left, and a lot of times the spirits, I could feel them. Some places more than others, but the one that really affected me after I came home was the Villisca Axe Murder House. Just being on that property is weird, and sometimes I have a little digital recorder that's really high-end that I like to record soundscapes. Because we go to all these different places, there's different crickets, there's different, the wind sounds different. So sometimes, you know, when I'm out in the van, I'll let that thing run. I'll let my little recorder run for an hour and just get whatever the natural soundscape is. And I did one from Villisca on the property, and you could hear the train going by, and you can hear the crickets and stuff. And what's weird is, I thought this would be great for relaxation stuff, you know. When I listened to that, I had like weird images and stuff. I think that just by listening to these different places, you somehow psychically connects or something, I don't know.
Or what if there's someone talking to you in EVP, but you can't hear it with your ears, but it's really, your subconscious hears it. Like, I think about that, too.
Yeah, so I stopped listening to that one. But, yeah, I would say the Villisca Axe Murder House was really intense.
What's your favorite? London room service.
No, London was pretty cool.
London was cool.
Yeah. Several pancakes.
No one's seen that. They made it a video. I'm still waiting for that video to put up on the vlog, on the Ghost Adventures vlog. So whenever you're ready, buddy.
Okay. I have actually two questions. One is, how do you prepare yourselves or protect yourself? Because we never see that on TV. That was one. And then the other one was, you told me I just blanked it.
The other one was, what is her other question? Starting off, how about protection? What do you guys do for protection?
I don't do anything. I basically, here's my theory. If I'm getting evidence, don't mess with it. So I believe if I'm going to go out there, I don't do anything. I used to cleanse myself when I came home, and it just got worse. It was like, every time I did it, I'd cleanse the house or me, and it just got out of control. So then I realized, okay, if they're here and they're scaring me or whatever, they're not killing me or harming me, so they're just trying to get my attention of some sort. So then, but in a weird way, if I feel like if I go get cleansed or something, then I won't get that evidence that I'm getting on the show. So while I'm doing this, I'm going to ride the wave. If I get depressed or sad, or I just go with it. You know what I mean? That's part of life. And so when it's all said and done, I'll get cleansed up maybe, but, you know, most likely. But I'll probably be doing this for a while. There's a journey, and I feel that you ride with the flow, you go with the flow, and whatever happens, happens, and that's part of life. And so it's the same concept with work, you know? Like, I don't want to mess the evidence up, so, you know, I don't know if you've seen the show, there's some scary stuff. But let's just say I get cleansed, and let's just say that that doesn't happen now, you know what I mean? Or there's a protection
it's
over
not
me.
It's not attracted to you.
And so I just believe, go with it until it's over, and then worry about that later. But for right now, it's time to capture evidence, so I don't want to mess that up in any way.
Hey, Bill, how do you cleanse before and after investigation?
Shower. I noticed from the, you know, I've been doing this with these guys for 3 years now, you know, mostly behind the scenes in the beginning, but stuff follows you home. My wife can attest to that. 3 days usually is how long it lingers in the house. And I burn frankincense oil near my bedside. That seems to help. I actually have some frankincense oil right here, essential oil, and just by smelling it, I notice the difference. It kind of just clears out any negative energy. So, and I even travel with it in my hotel room, because when I have to review evidence and stuff on the road, that seems like when it gets real heavy. Because I think that they're all around, because he's going to find the evidence.
I remember the other day, so we're doing back-to-back lockdowns, and something happened with Zach, me and Billy went to his house, or we were staying, and we just brought the cameras and started hunting, and it got scary, like something was there, and I just remember, you see a shadow, or you saw it first, and saw it going up the stairs, so we start going up the stairs, and then I look over, and Billy's just... just hits it, so I'm like, oh man, this is bad! Pretty funny.
Okay, the other one was, what has all your experience working with the dead taught you about living, from what you've learned from them about life?
Ma'am, we promised them no deep questions. Do you have
My theories are just changed. I believe that, I don't know. I could talk about a lot of things. I don't know if I want to get into it, but I'm just curious why little kids don't go to heaven, why they're still on the ground. You know, if you cuss or kill, it's the same sin. I'm starting to believe that everything's politics, and it's just all about the same religion that started, about earth, reincarnation. Not that people get reincarnated, but some do. I believe that happens. And so I'm starting to think religion was formed to cause battles, and, you know, like, there's wars all the time. It caused, like, a stop, a fear, you know, like, oh, there's a God and all this stuff, so everyone starts doing something different. I'm not saying, I believe every religion's right because it's all about what you believe. So if you believe Buddhism or you believe this, you know, like, it's right, you know, because when it comes down to it, it's what's in there. It's how you firmly believe.
Well, with the ones that I've experienced, it seems that they're holding on to something rather than doing what they're supposed to be doing. You don't have the body now. Like,
Right. Well, I mean, who's to say we're alive? Eternity's forever, and this is 60 to 80 years, so that's a second. You know what I mean? Like,
people in this life tend to hold on to stuff they shouldn't. And it seems to be the same crap.
Yeah, my dad always told me, like, you're going to take that when you go to heaven? And I'm looking at him like, I kind of hope so. You know? Like, I realize, no. You know, you can have all the money in the world or something, and when it's over, it's over. And so it's just weird. Like, we fear this stuff. We fear death. We fear everything because, like, we like being alive right now. And it's like, but dude, I've met a lot of people who have died and come back, and they're like, dude, it feels so much better. And when you come back, you just feel pain in your body, and it's like moving your arm and getting sore. It's like, it's a whole different experience. And so I'm starting to, like, I don't know. But I think that's kind of what's going on, in my opinion.
I don't ever get really religious with people and talk about, you know, my personal beliefs. But I think that since I started working in the paranormal, I do look at things a lot differently. And like you said, why are these children spirits, right? They are children spirits. Why are they hanging out? You know, we've got kids' voices all the time.
I do have a theory, though. And I have dreams. I've been having tons of dreams about, sorry, dude, but I do have a theory. What am I telling you? Sorry. I'm going to see it soon, though. I do have a theory, though. It's coming up. Sorry.
Thanks for the tease.
Tease!
Wow. I think you're right, though. I think that the, you know, we're only here for a short time, and, you know, your spirit resides in your body, and when you die, you still live on because your energy, you know, whatever that may be, you don't have your vehicle anymore, your car's crashed. So I think that, like, a lot of these spirits we find hang out at these places because they love it there.
Right.
And then why would they leave? I mean, just because they don't have a body, they're still there. And sometimes they'll connect with you, and, you know, you're able to talk to them and get evidence, but...
Also, it depends on people's aura, you know, like maybe ghosts don't see you, you know, but they see you because of your aura, and who knows, and so it's like, but to go to these places, like, if I was a ghost, or if you're a ghost, you love Disneyland, you die, you're probably going to be up at Disneyland a couple times, you know, like, that's like your theory, like, the lighthouse we were just at, man, you could tell, these people did not want to leave because it was so awesome, I wouldn't leave. You know, and that's why you get such good EVPs, because they stay, you know, it's weird.
Have you ever run into a ghost at two different locations?
Same ghost.
Hold on, we'll be up to you in a few seconds. Don't make me get the mace.
Whatever follows us around, I guess.
Anarchy, damn it, I have the microphone! All right, hold on. Billy, quick question.
Yes.
Aaron goes tomorrow. Where's the best place for us to get EVP of Aaron Goodwin?
Starbucks.
Tron. All of his Tron collectibles.
Right.
And all the EVP is going to say, don't touch it. Don't touch it. All right, hold on.
What is your favorite piece of equipment to work with during an investigation?
Billy Tolly.
Wait, who's the she?
My favorite is the PX, but lately... Man, it's the SP7, that spirit box. Like, I usually get okay luck when I was with another investigator or a guest person, like, we got luck. I would, but lately, it's just been nonstop. And right now, it's the SP7 that's pretty good. But I love the PX and Ovilus. Like, that thing, man, I put that in my house, and it is right on. That PX could not be more right on. Like, I could ask questions like, what did I just eat? It'll be like, you know, like chicken. And like, I swear to God, it's like, I got one or something. Bill ain't fucking listening in. I'm like, this is
he has the microphone.
But it's like, holy crap. So like, we're at my house, the PX Nautilus are what works. But on locations lately, it's the SP7.
Mastermind.
You guys got the iPhone app on it. That's even trippier because you turn airplane mode off and it goes nuts. Like, him and I, like, we don't use it for the show, but we'll sit there with those apps, like off location, or just sitting at the hotel room. It will be crazy.
Speaking of apps for the iPhone, the five apps that Bill Chappell made for iPhone, they're all available under Digital Dowsing in iTunes. At the last event, that was like the star of the show. Yeah. When we were at the Stanley, it started speaking. It has a phonetic generator, so it just uses phonemes, just and puts them together to make actual words. So if it starts making sense, then it's working. It started speaking German. There was a guy in the group who goes, it's speaking German. And you could tell. I mean, you can tell when someone's speaking German. I don't speak German, but you can tell by what it sounds like. So I think we'll definitely use that over here at the prison.
I will be.
So
my question is, at this prison, what's the darkest place?
Well, solitary confinement's usually the darkest. But you gotta think, man, that could be the darkest, but you could be in another cell chilling, and that could be the dark moment. It just depends on the person or the spirit that's there. So solitary confinement could be good for a badass mofo, you know, but like for a gentle, weak guy, that's like his cell's even worse than solitary confinement, you know? So it's like, it just depends on what's there. And it's one thing, like you gotta really put yourself in these spots when you're in jail and sitting in there in these cells. You gotta really imagine what it's like. And once you imagine and feel that, that's what I believe an energy can come in and actually feel you. So it's like, you know, it's like put yourself in our, that's why we do the adventure sequence. That's why we do this and that, you know, like, yeah. To put ourselves in those shoes. We did the boat ride for 7 hours to go to a lighthouse. So when we stood there going, now I understand why they chilled up here, you know, but like, you gotta understand, like they'd have to bring people in. So these people came in all seasick and just like crazy because they've been on the sea and like, you know, we understood it. Because Nick went crazy, not crazy, but he got all like kind of sick, and we were just like, oh man, that was only 7 hours. Could you imagine like
months?
So it was good to do. Boy, I gotta take a picture.
Two questions. Why, speaking of the obelisk, why don't you use it as much anymore on the episodes? And number two, does the Travel Channel, are they wanting to interfere with how you do things or having more input, or do you have as much free range, or do they want to say more about what you do and how you do it?
One thing that's really awesome about our show is Nick and Zach usually have all control, and I mean, they got to go through a little bit with Travel Channel, but it's really unique. They actually, you know, if something's going on, they'll stick firm to something, you know, and that's why our show has been the same pretty much the whole time. As of equipment, I have a PX in my pocket at all times. We use almost
every thought you were happy to see me.
We use all the equipment as much as we can, and half the time some of it doesn't even work. Like, nothing happens. Like, I mean, the PX, I have it in my pocket, turned on, and the button's safe, so nothing gets bumped. And like, what, it's after 10 episodes, it's only talked once. But then like, the obelisk has gone crazy. But it's sometimes when the obelisk happens, it's like, it's really hard to show exactly what's happening and prove to you guys or show you guys that, oh, you know, this happened here. So it's like, sometimes there's a lot of evidence, and sometimes when like we'll just toss some of it out, because I mean, otherwise the show will be 3 hours.
Or 22 minutes.
Right, it's 22 minutes the whole night. And so, and a lot of times we go in there and work on gear or talk with gear, and nothing happens, and then all of a sudden something else will happen. So we usually use almost all the gear every episode, and you just see the highlights of what the most craziest stuff that happens, pretty much.
You know how Zach and Nick are always like making you go to the worst places all the time? I'm curious about that, because if you guys just get scared or nervous and nothing happens to you, I guess the question is like, what's the worst physical thing that's ever happened when you guys or heard in your travels that ever happened to them physically? Like, not like getting scared or anything.
I've actually, when I was at home or like
on the... Anywhere, like, you know, like, whether someone tries to hit you with something or you can get scratched, or it's face or something falls in them, like what's the worst thing?
I've been scratched. Actually, on my calf, at Preston Castle, and you could actually see it, like, forming and, like, you know, you could see the redness coming out. And that was intense, because at first you're like, what the fuck? And then you try to put it together. And then this was during the beginning. At the beginning, I was more scared of anything in there, and that's what they used me for. It was just to bait, because the fear, they came in there with the fear and it got it. But then we realized each one of us has our own special thing, and for some reason, throwing me alone because of my nervousness, but now I'm more aggressive about it. Like, if I get scared, I'll be like, whoa, but I'll go straight at it now. It's, everything's changed since the Winchester Mystery House. And so, like, now, but, what was I saying? Happens a lot. But yeah, so like, I don't know.
So they were, it's not that they were like nervous to go there, they were saying it's the worst spot, and they're like, you go, because like you're the most afraid.
Right, and it's just working, and it's crazy, but it works, and like, I don't know, man. We get, it's just, we all do a certain way, you know, Nick's strong, well, and Zach's, we're all strong, but like, Zach's more aggressive sometimes, and like, I'm more skittish and scared, you know, and like, but you put the three of us together, it's like the perfect Three Stooges for Hunt the Ghost in a weird way, you know? Yeah,
like, can I just go away? Like, after
the mine went away, it was almost 2 weeks, and for the first week and a half, it burned, like a third degree burn. Like, when I would lay in bed, I'd be like, oh, like, I was really, like, felt like I got scalded, burned, or fire. And then I'd have to sleep with my leg off the bed. And then eventually, it was like a week, I think it was like 8 days or 9 days, and I could finally start to chill, but it was on there for like a good, like, I think 3 weeks that you could see it.
It's funny. And then, like, because one night I was like falling asleep watching it, I'm not sure if I couldn't find the episode again, but I think there was one where like bricks were like flying or something, and you guys like.
That's the documentary, yeah. That's what started it all.
But, like,
I wasn't at that. I wasn't there at that. I had quit by then. I was like, screw this. I did. I was like, no, you're going to Goldfield. All right. I was working on a gig. He's like, dude, you got to go on this Goldfield event. Let's go right now. I was like, I'm working. He's like, dude, this, you know, it's a great opportunity. I'm like, I'm working. No, thank you. You know, like, no. And but, you know, time goes on, and here we are.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't know if it was in the first season. One of my favorite scenes is when they send you in, and this is going to sound so horrific to say this is one of my favorite scenes, but they're like, okay, in this cell, a man was butt-raped to death, and brutally beaten, and severe, and then they're like, and he hates anybody left in here. We're going to leave Aaron in this cell. And it's the greatest,
Ohio State Penitentiary. Well, Idaho.
Yeah, right? And there's nothing better than... He's in the pitch black, and it's hard in TV when you see night vision. Everybody just kind of takes for granted that you can see everything that the viewer can see, and you can't. It's pitch black, but the look on his face, he's like, "What they did to you really suck, man. But I will never do that to you." He's doing it the whole time, and then as he says that, something drops down, and he goes, "Oh fuck."
Well, there's no way out of there. Climb out over the top. We were supposed to be.
I like how he's negotiating with ass rape ghosts, right? He's like, what they did suck, but remember, it wasn't me.
I'm gonna grab the water bottle. Welcome to my life.
those are my favorite moments every time. I just want like a compilation disc of just edited scenes of Aaron. Creeping her on, and he's always
it's
so
scary.
Sweet. He's like the sweet. Everybody always goes, I gotta ask you about the guys. You know, are they really like that in real life? I go, yeah, they kind of are. I mean, they're like that, and they're like, wow, Aaron's gotta be joking around, right? He's just kind of amping up the silly goofiness. I said, no, he is exactly as you see. As a matter of fact, in person, he's even goofier. But in the best ways, because he's like so kind and sweet to everybody that he meets and does these things, but he's so nice to the ghosts, even the ones that screw with him. He's like, dude, you totally scratched my eyes out, and that's cool. Well, let's just end it there, okay? Any other questions?
Where would you love to ghost hunt?
Where would I love to?
Yeah, that you haven't been able to see.
I want the temples of Egypt and the tombs. I don't know. I'm a huge Egyptian nut. Like, I've had dreams about Egypt when I was a kid, like weird stuff. And so, like, I just started writing it after, like, when I was 22. I was just like, I'll write it down. And I don't know, some about that place. Like, I kind of do believe in reincarnation on certain people and certain energies. Like, some get, some nope, you know? And I think I'm, for some reason, if I think about it so much when I was a kid, like, maybe I was from there or something. So, I don't know, Egypt would be my spot. And I always want to go to Dracula's Castle, which I couldn't go on the last one. It sucked, but.
Too many steps.
Bill, how about you?
I agree with that. I actually pyramids. I think that'd be a great
We're doing the next investigation in Egypt. Who's going with us?
This from a guy with smiley faces on his face. Let it go.
Okay, so my clumsy ass, 2 days in a row, bumped my screen door in my hotel and ripped the skin off of my knuckles. And so, and on the boat ride, I hurt him, so I can't do the handshake. So I'm, that's what these guys are for, just to say, hey, I can't, sorry. And then I did the side bump. And so I got bored.
Aaron Goodwin, everyone.
Random facts with Aaron Goodwin.
This is my first event, and when I was telling people I was coming here, some of them said, you know, that's really cool, you're going ghost hunting. Some of them said, that's stupid, I don't believe in ghosts. And I was just wondering, I know you guys have done events all over the world. What are people's attitudes overseas, back home, all around, when you say we're professional ghost hunters?
I get made fun of. You know, I've been a professional DJ in Las Vegas for about 10 years now. And just, you know, when I started with these guys, it's been over 3 years now. Yeah. You know, I was still gigging, doing six nights a week in the clubs, spinning, you know, DJ. And then got involved with these guys, started doing ghost hunts and stuff. And then,
which was so random, how
that it's
was.
Really random. So then, as I started traveling with them, you know, my schedule became demanding, towards doing this stuff. And I started, you know, not DJing as much. And all my DJ friends were like, you still ghost hunting? Yep. That's just weird. So, I mean, and most of my close friends, I mean, they make fun of me to my face. So, but I don't care.
But actually, overseas, a lot of the European countries, they're a lot more open.
Oh, they all are. Yeah. I mean, like, you go over there, you hardly hear any skeptics. They're always like, oh, yeah, just walk on.
Either that or over in Europe, they'll tell you, right, you start talking about ghosts and they kind of roll their eyes, but then they want to tell you about the brownies and fairies and trolls. And you're like...
Which I believe all that was real at one point in time, because why would we be talking about it? You know?
What were we talking about? They got more ghosts in Europe, though.
Oh, yeah. Overseas has way more ghosts.
More history.
Well, yeah, much more history over there.
And more darker stuff.
A lot more dead people for a
while. Here it's just, hey, we're taking your land, and then we just kill them, and now we own it, and now it's just depressed ghosts.
What's Milford, New Jersey? For Billy, what was the last song you listened to, and what do you like to mix?
The last song that I listened to?
Every Woman in the World to Me by Air Supply.
Actually, on the plane, I listen to all my other DJ friends. They post mixes like I do on their podcast, and so I just loaded up for the plane ride. Happened to be DJ Exodus, his mix, which is it's house music. I like electronic music, so.
And back to your second question. The second question was, what was the last song you listened to? Was that like your style or whatever? Or
probably
house music.
Yes. I can't remember. I fell asleep. So, that's a trick question.
It was Aaron singing Soft Kitty to him. Any other questions?
Are y'all going to ever go to New Jersey and do the Jersey Devil?
I don't know. To be honest with you guys, I don't find out where we go. My theory from day one has been I show up, I learn firsthand right then and there. Because you see these reactions on me, that's because I just learned it. Like, I'll be like, oh, we're going to Chicago, cool, and maybe I'll hear the name, but I don't know anything about it. So, and I don't pick them. Nick and Zach do, and Jeff Bell and Gene.
Yeah. So I was going to say,
you're going to ask him that question.
What are the chances of ever hunting the Jersey Devil?
Where are we going, Jeff?
They're right between slim and none. Only because it's such a broad area. Like, where would you go? Where do you pick to call the epicenter of that? I mean, I know the Pine Barrens, right? But yeah, it's, you know, Ghost Adventures, we need like a central location, a place to focus on. But it's a great
fucked up spot.
I mean, yeah,
and a river to park the van.
We need a river for Billy's van.
And lots of snacks.
No.
I know the focus here is on like ghost hunting and everything, but have you ever had any experience of, say, cryptozoological, like Bigfoot or UFOs or?
Actually, yes, I do, my friend. I do, and this has really never come up, but I just asked. when I was a kid, about 3 years old, we lived in Sisters, Oregon. Or no, wait, I was older than that because we moved back. So I think I was like 7 or 8. So I was running around with a BB gun and I was shooting like in the forest. I mean, it wasn't ours, but it was a huge forest. And I remember coming back home because I saw this ape walking down the forest at a distance, and I shot at it. And I'm like, I mean, it's so far away. And when you're a kid, you know, you're like, sniper up, beat me up, you know. But like, I came running home, and I remember my mom telling my mom I saw an ape walking and walked past a tree, and it was gone. And then she was like, oh, and then she finally showed me a picture, and she said it was Bigfoot. And so to this day, I still remember that, and it freaked me out. And then on the way to California about 4 months ago, I was driving down the freeway, and there's a semi in front of me, and you know the car or planes come down, they'll nail you. I was driving, I mean, I'm whatever, you think I'm crazy, I don't care. But I'm driving, and I see it coming down, it's going opposite direction, we're going like 65, 70, and I can see it lowering down, I'm like, dude, the wings look like Tron, you know, because it has cool lights everywhere. And all you can see were the side wings. And then all of a sudden it's coming out the traffic, and then all of a sudden it's just right in front of the semi that's in front of me, and it's going backwards now immediately. And about, if we're going 70, it's about 65, so it's slowly, and it goes right over us, and all the cars start swerving. And I mean, it could have been military, it could have been something, I mean, who knows, but I've never seen something go along with traffic and then just stop instantly backwards and go along with the other side of traffic. And everyone on the road was like, I was more worried about crashing, but and all I saw were the little lights, it looked like wings, and it was just, I mean, but it could have been government. But, I mean, I believe in UFOs, so why not? You know what I mean?
When you saw the Bigfoot, was it like this?
No, I just kept walking.
You're always in that pose.
Real quick, one theory I've been hearing a lot of, and Mark and Debbie were telling about this too, is sometimes who's to say Bigfoot doesn't like block what you can see, and so like he could walk by but you can't see it, which is kind of in a case because like, you know, if you're insane or crazy, it probably opens something up, and who's to say you're insane and crazy? Maybe you're actually seeing the ghost stand in front of you, which is a human, you know. So like, who's to say these mystical creatures can't do something to block a vision of you, to notice something, or, you know what I mean? Like, you almost have to, like, catch it off guard. It's like, oh, they caught me, and it disappears or something. Like, you know, like, I don't know. That's just one of my theories.
Aaron Goodwin.
Guys, real quick, just as a fun last question, all right, for both of you. Walk into the White House and see the full-on ghost of Abraham Lincoln and have a two-minute conversation with him. See an alien, UFO come down, an alien come out and shake hands with you, or Bigfoot. Which one would you rather encounter the most? Which would be your...
For me, Abraham Lincoln.
Alien. What I ever said, would be like, I knew it! God damn it, you can't show yourself because then old religion will go out the window. And I'll be like, I know! And then I'm like, okay. We'll kick it, and I'll be like, dude, just take me back up. I'm going with you because one, you'll probably live thousands of years old, and two, let's
now you know Bigfoot doesn't let you see him. Oh, pick Abraham Lincoln and an alien. You can't see me.
Actually, wait, Bigfoot would be good because then he could take a picture.
Yeah,
and then you'd be even more famous because you captured a picture.
Wouldn't you love to run into Bigfoot and go, "Oh God, I got to get a picture of this," and then hand him your camera and go, "Will you take my picture?"
And then do the pose.
Aaron, here's the choice. Could he get Abraham Lincoln's ghost to Big Step or the Bigfoot to Big Step? Which one would be more exciting for him?
I would have to say Abraham, because that's politics, man. That's
stove top hat and all, right?
Yeah. But Bigfoot would be good because they would go with it, but then he'd probably take it over.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Ghost Adventures TV series, Billy Tolley and Aaron Goodwin. We're going to take a quick break, about 5 minutes, so if you have to go to the bathroom or get some water.